Guitar Will Travel, presented by Vintage Guitar Magazine, with your host, me, James Patrick Regan, otherwise known as Jimmy from the Deadlies. And today I'm speaking with guitar legend Robin Trower. In our conversation, Robin speaks about the guitars and amps he was using early on, Gretsch's and Gibson's and Somer amps, and what brought about his switch to Fender Strats and Marshall amps. Robin talks about his early influences, particularly Scotty Moore and B.B. King, and he describes the early bands in his neighborhood, particularly the fabulous Rockefellers who inspired him to play the guitar. Robin describes getting together with his friend Chris Copping and working out tunes together, and he tells us about his band, The Paramounts. Robin tells us about his time in Procol Harum and what led to the start of his band and the people that made up the band throughout the years and who he has now. Robin talks about seeing Jimi Hendrix early on when Procol Harum shared the bill in early 1968, and Robin discusses his use of pedals in the 70s and the full-tone pedals he uses now. Robin tells us about his Fender signature model, which is his preferred guitar to play these days, and he talks about his guitar collection, which was stolen, and that led to him not having a collection now. Finally, Robin tells us about touring and playing music at the age of 81 and how that keeps his spirit young and his love of soccer and reading nautical novels. To find out more about Robin, you can go to his website, robintrower.com. That's RobinTrower.com. Please subscribe, like, comment, share, and most of all, review this podcast. I'd really appreciate it. And please support Vintage Guitar Magazine in all the wonderful things they do for us guitar players, because they do so many wonderful things for us guitar players. Oh, hey, and if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/HaveGuitarWillTravelPodcast. I'd really appreciate it. And here's my buddy, Robin. Hey there.
Hello.
How are
Hi.
You? How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Nice to see you. It's an honor to speak with you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. When you were growing up, when you were coming up, you were playing Les Pauls and SGs. Is that true?
I actually started off, I think my first proper electric guitar was a Gretsch.
Oh, was it really?
Gretsch Solid Body, yeah.
Okay.
And then I went on to Les Paul Junior.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then I had a SG.
Okay.
And then I sort of discovered Strats and haven't looked back.
When you were coming up, who were your people? Why did you get interested in guitar?
Well, I think mostly it was Scotty Moore.
Okay.
I just loved his guitar playing with Elvis.
Yeah.
I think that's why I wanted to have a guitar, yeah.
Yeah. And did you ever have an opportunity to meet Scotty?
Oh, no, unfortunately I didn't. I would love to have met him.
Yeah, that would be great. Did Cliff Gallup play a role in your early education?
Not really, although I'm a great admirer of his playing. I think he's a wonderful player.
Yeah.
But just wasn't quite my kind of thing.
Yeah. Did you...
It wasn't really until I started hearing B.B. King that I started to, sort of realize, what I would like to do with the guitar, really.
Uh-huh. Was there teachers, or did you have to pick it up on your own?
No, it's mostly by ear. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
And was there a visual for you? Were there people playing in your neighborhood, or were you able to watch anything on TV?
There were local bands that I went to see, when I was about 15. There was one band that I used to see called Fabulous Rockefellers.
Okay, really?
And I'm really a big fan of theirs, and they inspired me, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Were you playing in bands during your school years at all?
Not really. I used to get together with my friend Chris Copping. And we used to sort of play through songs together.
Yeah.
On two guitars, but the bands didn't really happen until I started to form something with Gary Brooker, the Paramounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. You mentioned Chris. Was there a group of guitarists around, that you guys could share ideas with?
No, not really. I wasn't what I call a social musician, if you know what I mean. I wasn't hanging out with other guys, no.
Okay, all right. And so what led to the Paramounts? How did you start that band?
Well, it's because of the Fabulous Rockefellers.
Okay.
I wanted to have a sort of junior version of them.
Uh-huh.
which was the lineup of piano player who was the vocalist, mm-hmm. guitar, bass, and drums.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I asked Gary if he would like to, you know, get together and form a band.
Sure. What were you playing at that point? Were you playing the Gretsch or were you playing something else?
I think I was playing the Gretsch. Okay. Yeah, that was such a long time ago.
Do you remember what you were playing it through?
I think in the early days of the Paramounts, I was playing through a Selma amp.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I graduated to a Fender amp.
Okay.
And then eventually ended up with a Marshall.
Uh-huh. Were Fender amps readily available in England at that point?
No, I don't think they were. Not really. I mean, that's why I was playing a Selma, I think. It's because, you know, that local British make, you know.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. What led from the Paramounts to Procol Harum?
Well, I left the Paramounts because, well, I mean, we sort of run out of work. I sort of messed around with the three-piece for a bit.
Uh-huh.
And then I got the call from Gary. He was having huge success with his first single with Procol Harum.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me to join.
And Procol, how did you switch to a Strat by that point, or were you still playing other guitars?
I think by that time, what was I playing then? I can't really remember. I know I'd been in Procol for about 3 or 4 years before I switched to a Strat.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
But had you switched to Marshalls by that point?
When I came into Procol Harum, I was running a Fender 4x10
okay.
Combo.
Yeah. Like a Bandmaster or
yeah, I can't remember what they were called. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a 4x10 though.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it was a really heavy thing to lift.
Sure.
You know.
So you decided to switch to Marshalls, which were much lighter.
No. Of course, being a separate head and 4x12.
Yeah.
You know, easier to move about. But I think everybody was starting to play Marshalls. You know. About that time, 67, 68.
Yeah. And did you have interactions with Eric Clapton or, you know, Jimmy Page or Jeff Beck at that point in the late 60s?
No, not at all. We were on the bill. I think it was a Rolling Stones show.
Uh-huh.
And John Mayall was on. So, Eric Clapton was with him.
Sure, yeah.
But no, I didn't get a lot of mixing with other guitar players.
Okay. All right. And did you ever have an opportunity to see Jimi Hendrix play?
I did, yes. When I was in Procol, we were on the bill with him in Berlin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did it change your opinion of guitar playing at that point?
I think basically I wanted to give up playing the guitar after I saw Jimi Hendrix for about a year. Uh-huh. I did manage to come back from that, though.
Yeah. The lyrical style of playing that you have, where do you think that came from?
Within.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I've got a compositional gift.
Sure.
And I think that's what, you know, makes it maybe, like you say, lyrical, but I think it's because of, the composition behind it, if you know what I mean.
Yes,
of course. The idea that soloing, for instance, has to grow out of the piece of music itself, rather than bringing licks you know to it.
Sure. Absolutely. And so, what led to your leaving Procol Harum?
I was starting to write more and more pieces for the guitar. You know, more and more guitar ideas.
Yeah.
There basically wasn't room for it in Procol.
Okay, all right. And how did you get hooked up with James?
I formed a band initially with a singer called Frankie Miller.
Okay.
And he brought in Jimmy on bass.
Okay.
And while we were working, I got to hear Jimmy sing, and that was it. I thought, oh, well, yeah. Bass, vocals, fabulous.
Yeah, exactly. And how did you find Clive?
Clive was excellent.
Yeah.
Lovely guy, excellent player. But it, you know, it just wasn't the right sort of pocket for what I wanted to do when I decided to go to a three-piece.
Yeah. And so how did Reg end up being in the band?
I think Jimmy discovered him or found him through, he asked a musician called Zoot Money, and Zoot Money recommended Reg.
Okay. At this point, when you're doing your solo stuff, it's all strats?
Yep. Definitely all strats then, yeah.
And were any modifications to the strats? I mean, to, like, you know, with the whammy bar and all that, just to, no, nothing.
No, just as you bought them from the shop. I wasn't that into the technical side of guitar. I mean, it's only been more recent years that I've sort of looked into things like the action and the size of the frets and all that. You know, I didn't really worry about that side of it very much.
Yeah. And you were playing Marshalls at this point?
That's right, yeah. I had a couple of 100 Marshalls and 2 4x12s.
Yeah. And how was your hearing? Like, were you playing at full volume through those?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, loud.
Yeah.
I mean, I never used to turn the amps up full because they used to just turn to mush.
Yes.
But, yeah, loud. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and my, no doubt about it, my hearing is bashed.
Eventually you got Bill Lorden to play drums. Where did he come from?
Jimmy and I went to Los Angeles and we held auditions.
Okay.
And Bill came along to that. And he was with Sly and the Family Stone at the time.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, you could see the sparks flying when he was playing.
What was it like? So you were headlining as a three-piece. I remember when you played Day on the Green here. I'm in San Francisco. So I remember
you played
Day on the Green at the Oakland Coliseum to 60-something thousand people. What was it like being up there on stage with that mass of people?
Mind-blowing. I mean, it was really, really jaw-dropping, really. Although I have to say, when I was in Procol Harum, we played on the Isle of Wight, and I think there were 400,000 people there.
Wow.
So, I mean, it wasn't the first time, but it was mind-blowing.
And what were you using as far as pedals back in the mid-70s?
Well, I was using a Univibe. I'm pretty sure I was using a Dunlop Wah, and I had an overdrive volume pedal built. A friend of mine built it for me.
Okay.
So that was just to sort of make the signal louder and push the amps more. That's what that did. Yeah.
When you recorded Two Rolling Stones, where it slows down, were there people in the room making all that noise?
No, we overdubbed.
Oh, you did?
Party. Yeah.
You had me fooled.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good effect. But it added a lot of atmosphere. That's what I liked about it. Yeah. You know, that was nice.
Yeah. So these days, what are you using for amps when you're playing live?
I use 50-watt Marshalls.
Okay.
I think they're called 1989.
Okay.
So they're just one volume. They don't have the two volume thing, which I like because it's a more open, you know, it's much more open.
Yeah.
And I use those on 2 4x12s.
Are you running them full out or are you backing it off a little bit, like 80% or so?
I run them at, you know, like halfway.
Okay.
So, so about 5. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what are you using for effects now? Do you know? How elaborate is your pedal board?
Not very. I use full tone stuff. It's all full tone.
Okay.
Deja Vibe, Clyde Wah, OCD Overdrive.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are the main things. And I've also got a pedal that Mike Fuller built for me, which is, it's got a wah setting in it, but you can set it on a volume control in one place.
Sure.
Like holding the wah pedal at one spot. So, you know, I've got that as an extra boost kind of thing.
Yeah. How did you get hooked up with Rusty?
Bill Lawton had worked with him with Sly and the Family Stone.
Okay, all right.
And, you know, he recommended him.
Yeah. Do you have any contact with Rusty at all now or no?
Yeah, just slight, you know, emails and what have you. Yeah.
Very good. It's good to know
that. He's a fabulous player.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Also a local to here to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you started working with Davey Patterson, where did you find Davey? Was it from Ronnie Montrose?
I know he was with Ronnie Montrose, but a friend of ours in San Francisco, Johnny Rewind.
Okay.
Was making demos with Davey, and he played a demo to me, and I just loved his voice.
Yeah.
So I snatched him away and got him on the next album.
Very good. Has your home base always been in England?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. I did live in California for a little while, but just a couple of years. That was all. And a little while in Florida for about a year, I think. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. What part of California were you living in?
Malibu.
Oh, okay. That's not a bad place.
No, very nice.
And how about Florida? Where were you living in Florida?
Just outside Miami.
Okay. And how did you deal with the humidity there?
Oh, that's why I left. It was just too brutal.
Yeah. Fender's has a signature model, your signature model?
Yeah.
When did you work with them to do that?
Oh, it's got to be 15, 16, maybe more years. Okay. Yeah. And those are the only guitars I play now, the signature model. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And do you have a guitar collection at home apart from the, you know, your signatures?
No, I have. I used to have a nice collection of old Strats and Telecasters and a couple of Gibsons, but they were stolen.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so since then I vowed only to use new guitars.
Okay.
I have got one 56 Strat.
Okay. Do you use it out live or does it stay?
No. No, it's practically unplayable.
What about amps at home? Do you have a collection of amps?
No, I just play through a little practice amp when I'm writing at home. I don't like to make too much noise.
Okay.
But, but I always play through the OCD, even though I'm in a little practice amp, because that gives it a character, you know.
Sure. And do you know what the make of the practice amp is?
It's a little Fender.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Very good. What's it like? So, I mean, it's not a secret that you're 81 years old. What's it like touring? It's a two-part question. What's it like touring as an 81-year-old? And do you think that playing music is what's keeping your spirits so young?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely to the latter part of the question there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, I think any sort of creative hobby or, you know, even an occupation, but I think that keeps you young.
Yeah.
And playing live is exciting, keeps the juices flowing.
Certainly.
I mean, I just love to play guitar, you know. I mean,
yeah,
playing live or in the studio or practicing at home, you know.
Yeah. And about touring, at a later age, how do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, it has to be certainly managed a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
You can't... you know, be burning the whole time. You've got to get your rest.
Yeah.
You've got to eat properly.
Yeah.
And also, I don't have alcohol or tobacco or drugs at all.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, staying clean.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. And exercise. Oh, you know, I exercise twice a day.
Oh, wow. Okay. And what's your exercise of choice?
Well, it's mostly stretching and, you know, that kind of thing. But... there are one or two strenuous things that I do twice a day that I think help to keep me supple.
Yeah. As far as your current band, who's in your current band?
Well, I've been working with the same wonderful musicians for over 10 years now.
Okay.
Chris Taggart on drums.
Uh-huh.
And Richard Watts on bass and vocals.
Okay. All right. And where
have you heard the One Moment in Time live album?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's those guys.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And where did you discover those two guys?
Well, Richard, I've known. He went to school with my son.
Okay.
So I've known him his whole life.
Yeah.
And I saw when I was at Mass one day, and he was doing the music, and I discovered, you know, what a beautiful voice he had.
Certainly.
So, you know, I started to work with him, and eventually he, you know, he took on the role of bass and vocals.
Yeah. And how long have you been sober? Or have you been sober all along?
I've never been a drinker.
Okay.
But I just don't drink at all now.
Uh-huh.
I mean, years ago I would have had a glass of wine.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. And so outside of touring and all your music, what do you do for relaxation when you're home?
Well, I like to watch soccer.
Okay. Who's your team?
I don't have a team, really. I just like to watch. I'm sort of a fan of a few individuals.
Okay.
Who I will always want to watch, mm-hmm. you know, so that's more of it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And anything else besides watching soccer?
Yeah, I read.
Okay.
Yeah. At the moment, I'm going through the 11. I'm on number 8 at the moment, Hornblower.
Okay.
Captain Horatio Hornblower books.
Yeah. Yeah. And are those, do you like maritime kind of novels?
Well, I was a big fan of the Patrick O'Brien books of, you know, Master and Commander.
Yes, of course.
But I read those twice, so I had to find something else uh-huh. in the same genre.
Okay,
you know.
Very good. Very good. Well, it's been an honor to speak with you, sir. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Okay, great. And I hope to catch you when you come back around here in California.
Yeah, look me up.
I will.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Nice speaking
with you. Bye-bye. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for listening to Have Guitar Will Travel. You can catch up on all the things I'm doing at thedeadlies.com. And I'm on all the social media platforms as well. And please support Vintage Guitar and all the wonderful things they do, because they do many, many wonderful things for us guitar players. Thanks. Please subscribe. Please tell a friend. And I'll see you guys next week. Bye, guys. We'll be right back.